Is she coming?
Yeah, here we go. We're picking up where we left off last month, but don't worry for anybody who's just joining us now. It's not we're not picking up in the middle of a topic. It's something that's easy to just jump right into. The Gemara told us at the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, commenting on the Mishnah, beginning of a new sugya, that women are obligated in mitzvahs aseh that are not zman grama, that are not time bound, but any mitzvahs aseh that is time bound, women are exempt from. So we discussed last month, why are women exempt from time-bound mitzvahs? What is called a time-bound mitzvah? The Gemara picks up over here on Lamed Aleph and tells us that women are chayiv, though, in any mitzvah saseh, that is not time-bound. If it's not time-bound, women are obligated. What are examples of a mitzvah saseh that's not time-bound? So the Gemara says, Ezu mitzvah saseh shaloi hazman grama, in the top line. Where it says, mezuzah, makeh. Makeh is if a person has a roof which is above 10 tefachim off the ground, kind of like 3 feet off the ground. You have a roof that people use. If it's not used, it's only made for roofers to walk on, so then this wouldn't apply. But if you have a roof that's used that people could walk on, so we're afraid someone might fall off, so the Torah says you have to build a roof around it, you have to build a wall around it in order to make sure that people don't fall off. So any used roof needs a wall around it. That's called a mikah. Aveda, the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, and Shiluach HaKeh, all of these are mitzvahs aseh that are not time-bound, and therefore women are obligated in it. So Taisus asks, we had the Vermaskal Makeh, that it sounds like if they would have been time-bound, the woman would have been exempt. The only reason women are chayv in mezuzah, Makeh, Aveda, Shiluach HaKeh is because they are not time-bound. If they would have been time-bound, they would have been exempt. So, frek taisa kasha teimel rebbe, b'chol haniksiv lav. Women are for sure obligated in all prohibitions. All lois haseis, the Mishnah told us, certainly women are obligated. The only distinction between time bound and not time bound is by mitzvahs haseh. But each one of these mitzvahs, makeh, or not all of them, but some of them, makeh, aveda, shluach hakein, each one has not only a mitzvahs haseh associated with it, but also a mitzvahs lois haseh. Because the pasuk says, "By makeh ksiv lo samim damim beisecha," you should not place blood in your home by making a dangerous roof that people could fall off of. So, avagav de mukminon leilu megado kelav rav esulam ruah. Even though this also applies, we extended it as well that you shouldn't have a dangerous pet that could kill somebody, or sulam ruah, something somebody could fall off of. Danu sima biyadayim mikol makom asinam lemakeh. The pasuk certainly is referring to a makeh as well. So you have an obligation to build a makeh not only by virtue of the mitzvahs aseh, but also the mitzvahs lois aseh. So even if makeh would be time-bound, you'd still be obligated in makeh. The woman would still be obligated in makeh by virtue of the lois aseh. Da'adashi b'sifrei v'asisa zu mitzvahs aseh lo'samim damim zu mitzvahs lois aseh. By the makeh, there's v'asisa makeh l'gagecha, the mitzvahs aseh, and then there's also the mitzvahs lois aseh, lo'samim damim b'veisecha. Then Taisa says the same is true by Aveda. By Hashavas Aveda, the pasuk says, Hashav Tashivim, Pasuk in Parashas Kisetze, a positive mitzvah to return the Aveda. But there's also a prohibition, Lo Yisucha L'Salem. You're not allowed to hide your eyes from seeing the Aveda. And Shibuach HaKein too. Lo Yisika Chayim Alabonim. There's a Lo Yisase too as well. So Ve'im Kein, says Tosis, Eich Yu Noshim Peturois, Afilu Heim Zman Grama, even if these would be time-bound, how could one be exempt for Hishva Kosov, Ishala Ishla, Cholon Shishabatara? With regards to all prohibitions, men and women are always both equally obligated. So that's Taisus' question. So Taisus has two answers to this question. Why the second one Taisus rejects. The first answer that Taisus suggests is that there are situations where the mitzvahs lois aseh will not apply. And all you'll be left with is the mitzvahs aseh. So what the Gemara means to say is, in those situations where the mitzvahs lois aseh does not apply, if these mitzvahs would have been time-bound, woman would be exempt in those situations. You're right, in the vast majority of cases where both the mitzvahs aseh and the mitzvahs lois aseh apply, women are going to be obligated no matter what, whether it's time-bound or not time-bound. But if it would have been time-bound, there'd be a handful of cases where the mitzvah loy sase does not apply, the woman would have been exempt. There are certain circumstances, certain cases, where all you're left with is the assay, there is no lav. The only time you violate the loy sase by maka is if you build the house having in mind not to build a maka, the fence around the roof, so no one should fall off. Let's say when you built the house, it was part of the plans to have a roof around the a wall around the roof. Or you changed your mind, or the house subsequently fell down. Then all you're left with is the violation of the essay, the vasisa market. In that situation, woman would be exempt. So you're right, says Tarsus. In the vast majority of cases, women would have been obligated whether it was time bound or not time bound. But there are a handful of cases where the assay applies and there is no lois assay. Or a similar case by Aved, a similar case by Shiluach HaKen. So that's the first suggestion Tarsus has. The reason why the Gemara stresses that these mitzvahs, women are chayavin because they're not time bound, even though if they would have been time bound, there would have been a mitzvah lois assay, which women are obligated in, but there's a handful of cases where all you're left with is the mitzvah saseh, and if it would have been time-bound, women would have been exempt. Then Tosfos quotes the second answer. The Yesh Mefarshim, this is the end of the middle lines in Tosfos, perhaps there'd be a difference with regards to asei derchaloi sese. We know a principle from Tzitzis and Shatnez, the Gemara discusses the first parak of Yevamis, that if you have a conflict between a mitzvah asei and a mitzvah loi sese, the asei is derchaloi sese. It trumps the loi sese. So Tosfos says, if these mitzvahs would have been time-bound, woman would be exempt. You're going to argue, but either way they're obligated to do it, because by virtue of the loi sese, you're right, says Tosfos, but there'll be a difference. Because now, if she has a conflict with another assay and this lois assay, all she's obligated in is by virtue of the lois assay, the other assay will come and be doicha this lois assay. If she would have been chayv in the assay and the lois assay of makev, ashav asaved of shiluach hakein, so assay can never push aside an assay and a lois assay. That it can never do. So if women would be obligated in the assay and the lois assay, we would not apply assay doicha lois assay the assay. But if it would have been time-bound, the woman would have been exempt from the assay. And even though she is obligated by virtue of the lois assay, it'll chop a nafkamina for a situation where she has another assay, which is conflicting here. So the assay, if all she's chayvin is by virtue of the lois assay, the assay will come and push aside the lois assay. Assay doicha lois assay, yeah.
Eric, can you repeat the concept?
Tosfos' question is, the Gemara makes a big deal, that these four mitzvahs are not time-bound, and that's why women are obligated. Tosfos says, I'll tell you, no, you know why they're obligated? There's a lois assay, and women are obligated in all lois assays. So why are you stressing the fact that it's because these are not time-bound? That's why they're chayv. They would have been chayv by virtue of the lois assay. So Tosfos says, okay, well, maybe there's situations where the lois assay doesn't apply. And that's what we mean to tell you. That's what the Gemara is stressing. Okay, that's the first answer of Tosfos. The second answer of Tosfos is no, that even though they would have been chayv in the lois assay, they only would be chayv in the lois assay. What difference does that make? Well, it makes a big difference if there's a conflicting assay, because then we could apply assay derech lois assay, it'll push aside the lois assay. Now that it's not time bound and women are chayv even in the assay, we don't apply assay derech lois assay the assay. Then it no longer applies. Yeah.
I thought one of the required components of assay derech lois assay is that it could be like at the same exact moment.
Okay.
But like, if they're two, I don't know what.
You'd be hard pressed to find the case.
Yeah, how would you find a case where like you're doing a totally different assay?
You're right.
A low cost.
We would probably have to think for a while to come up with a case, but I'm sure we could come up with one. In the end, though, Tosfos rejects this pshat. But Hikshar Rabbi Yosef may Eretz Yisrael. He writes in the third from the bottom line that this would not have been true. Meaning, if women would have been exempt from the assay of Make, of Hashav Saved, of Shiluach HaKein, we still would not have applied the rule of assay, Derech Eloi Sese, that a competing assay would be Derech Eloi Sese, of Hashav Saved, of Shiluach HaKein, of Make. Because once a Eloi Sese has an assay that goes with it, even though women are exempt from the assay part, but there is a Eloi Sese, the asay elevates the loisase, it becomes like a super loisase, because it generally has an asay that goes together with it. There is a complementary asay to this loisase, so that elevates the loisase and brings it into a new category and can never be pushed aside by a competing asay. Even though women might have been exempt from the asay element, the asay aspect, because it's time-bound, it still would have been irrelevant, the fact that they're exempt, because they're chayv in the lois asay. Ah, you'll say, well, it'll be a difference for if there's a competing asay, then now we'll say asay derech lois asay. No, we never would have said that. Because once the lois asay has a complementary asay, even though a woman would have been exempt from the asay aspect, we never would have applied lois asay, asay derech lois asay. That's what he writes in the last line. Even the lav is greater. Even though women are exempt from the asay element, the lois asay is emboldened by the fact that it usually has an asay that goes along with it, and therefore we never would have applied the rule of asay derech lois asay. So Tosfos is left with one answer. Who cares that it's not time bound? Women would have been obligated in these mitzvahs by virtue of the lois asay. Says Tosfos, no, there might be certain situations where there's a lois asay, but where there's only an asay and no lois asay. And that's what our Gemara is here stressing, is that women are chayv in those situations, even though there's no lois asay, like they built a house having a mind to do it, even though you never did. You don't violate the lois asay, all you have is the asay. Women are obligated in it. Why are they obligated in it? Because it's not time bound. That's Tosfos' answer. However, if you look in the Ramban gives a different suggestion. A third possibility. Over here in the Sheet Ois Aleph, writes the Ramban, V'li nira, she'ikar mitzvasei asay. No, says the Ramban, what's the primary focus here? It's not two equal parts, the asay and the lois asay, that independently function one from the other. The real focus is the asay. Ikar mitzvasei asay. She'ein lav sheboi ela lekaim asay. The lav is only coming to strengthen the asay. Tarsus had the opposite svara, that the asay comes to embolden the lav. The Ramban is saying, no, just the opposite. The lav comes to strengthen, to highlight the asay. Because of Rachmanav, asisa maka tchila, first the pasuk says, make a maka around your roof, v'hoder leisosim domim v'isecha, and then don't place blood in your home. Kloima loisa akim milaseis mitzvah zu. Don't be negligent in performing this mitzvah. There is no other implication of the law other than fulfill the asay. What the law is coming to say is, do the mitzvah asay, perform what I told you before. Therefore, writes the Ramban, ilu hayu noshim peturis me asay, hayu peturis af min alav. Therefore, if women would have been exempt from the asay, they would have been exempt from the law too. Shein halav elakiyum asay. The law is not independent. It's just strengthening the asay. Ava b'shar mitzvah asay sheyesh b'em lav asay chayav asay b'shneim. Okay, so that's different. But these mitzvahs, makeh, perhaps aveda, perhaps shiluach hakein, the lois asay here is not independent. You can't say, well, even if it would have been time bound, wouldn't have been obligated, woman would have been obligated in these mitzvahs by virtue of the lois asay. No, the lois asay here is just to strengthen the asay. Return the aveda, put up a fence, return, you know, send away the mother bird. All of them are coming to strengthen the assay. And therefore, if the assay would have been time bound and woman would have been exempt from the assay, they would have been exempt from the law too. You hear our boy saying? Interesting svar of the Ramban. That the lois assay, at least by certain mitzvahs assay, is only coming to strengthen the assay. It's not an independent lois assay. And therefore, if woman would have been exempt from the assay, if it would have been time bound, they would have been exempt from the lois assay too. Perhaps we find a similar svara in two other areas as well. Famous discussions. The Gemara has a Mesechtas Bava Kama and Daf Nun Vav and Mebeis and Machlokes about what is the status of a person who's watching an aveda. You're supposed to take care of the aveda until you have an opportunity to return it. So Itmar says the Gemara, Shomer aveda. You're taking care of an aveda, which you found a lost object. Rabba Amar Kishomer Chinam. You're like an unpaid watchman. You're putter and gneva v'aveda, chayvim shia, all the regular rules of an unpaid watchman. Rav Yosef Amar Kishomer Sachar. No, you're like a paid watchman. Rabbi says you're an unpaid watchman. No one's paying you here. Rav Yosef says you're a paid watchman. Chayvin Gneva and Aveda. Much, much more, greater obligations. So Rabbi Amar Kishomer Chinam Dami, my Hanak Kamatile. Who's paying you? Yeah, of course you're an unpaid watchman. You got no payment. Rav Yosef Amar Kishomer Sachar Dami. No, you're like a paid watchman. Why are you like a paid watchman? Because while you're taking care of the Aveda, knock at the door. Who is it? You know, pick your organization, your Moshe. Say, I'm sorry, I can't help you now. I'm busy with the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. So I hang up from the sun, you know, the window. Isaac be mitzvah, patim and mitzvah. I have such a sign for the window. Closed, you know. Isaac be mitzvah, patim and mitzvah. So I just saved you money. Oh, now you're paid. You're a paid watchman. How are you paid? Because since you were Isaac b'mitzvah, patim and mitzvah, and you were busy taking care of the Aveda, you got patim from giving tzedakah, now it's like you're a paid watchman. That's the Gemara explains what's called the pruta de Rabbi Yosef. You're patim from giving tzedakah while you're taking care of the Aveda. However, the Achrayim ask, the Maharet Tzchiyas and Masech the Sukkah and the Avchav Heimer Aleph, the Sukkah of Isaac b'mitzvah, patim and mitzvah. Other Achrayim ask the question too, is that tzedakah doesn't only have a mitzvah aseh associated with it, there's a lois aseh associated with tzedakah. The Rambam writes in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Halacha Beis, it's also found in Taisus, Bava Basra, and the Ches. The Rambam writes, V'chol haroya ani mevakesh v'helem einav mimenu, anybody who has or presented with a poor man, and he averts his eyes, v'lo nasan lois tzedakah, avar b'lois aseh. He's violated a lois ase. Shenema lois ha'ametz es levavcha v'lois sikpa es yadcha me'achicha evyon. You shouldn't harden your heart. You shouldn't close your hand. So there's a lois ase here. We don't apply the rule of Isaac b'mitzvah, patim and mitzvah to a lois ase. You don't say, well, I'm busy doing the Aveda, I'm allowed to wear shatnez. One has nothing to do with the other. You don't say Isaac b'mitzvah, patim and mitzvah. You're not patim from all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Another mitzvah ase presents itself. I'm already busy with one. You don't drop one to take care of the other. But a mitzvah's lois ase, we never apply the rule of Isaac b'mitzvah, patim and mitzvah. So how could it be that Rabbi Yosef told us a shomer aveda, a guy picks up an aveda, is patur from taking care of it? He's considered to be a shomer sachar. Why? Because while he was taking care of the aveda, he was patur from giving tzedakah to the ani. Ha'oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah. Now you're a paid watchman. Why are you allowed to not give tzedakah? But there's a lois aseh associated with tzedakah. We don't apply the rule ha'oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah to a lois aseh. So Rabbi Chanan explains in his Kovetz Shiurim, it's found in his Kovetz Ha'aris too, same idea, the Or Sameach, many Achrayim explain, that by tzedakah, the relationship between the Aseh and the Lois Aseh is similar to the relationship that the Ramban is describing here with regards to Hashavas Aveda, with regards to Makeh, with regards to Shiluach HaKein. And that is, that even though there is a Lois Aseh, yes, Lois Ha'amis is Levavach, V'lesikvos is Yarcha, Mechicha Evyon, it's just coming to underscore, to enhance or to embolden the importance of the mitzvah aseh. Don't neglect the mitzvah aseh of tzedakah, rather you should do it. But if you're exempt from the mitzvah aseh, why? Because ha'oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah, so you're exempt as well from the lois aseh. It's not an independent lois aseh, like shatnez, that you're avoiding because you're being involved in a mitzvah. Here the lois aseh is just coming to strengthen the aseh. So if you're patur from the aseh, because you're Isaac b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah, so then you should be patur from the lois aseh as well. Pulls the rug out from underneath the lois aseh. Just like the Ramban said, if these mitzvahs would have been time-bound, women would have been exempt from not only the aseh of makeh, but the lois aseh of makeh. Because the lois aseh is not independent, it's just coming to strengthen the aseh. It's coming to tell you, perform the aseh. So perhaps that same dynamic exists with regards to tzedakah. One other example, there might be many more, but one other obvious example where this issue comes up is the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Chagiga. The Rambam writes, as we know from the Psukim of Parshas Re'eh and elsewhere, that there's a mitzvah to appear in the Beis HaMikdash on each one of the Shalosh Regalim. Pasuk says, in Parshas Re'eh, Shalosh Pamim Bashana, Yerekol Zuchurchas, Pnei Hashem Elokecha, Malkom Asher Yivchar, B'chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuot, Chag HaSukkos, L'Yiru Es Panai Reikam. It's supposed to come three times a year on each one of the Yomim Tovim, each one of the Regalim, and present yourself in the Beis HaMikdash. Don't come empty-handed. So writes the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Chagiga, Harei Amur B'Torah, what does this mean that you should come and present yourself in the Beis HaMikdash on each one of the regalim? He shaniras pana bazar b'yomtiv harishon shalchag, the first day of the yomtiv, v'yava imo karban oila, what's known as oilas re'iya. You should come bearing a karban oila. Umisha balazar b'yomishon v'loi hevi oila, says the Rambam, if you came without an oila, loi dayo shaloi osa mitzvah saseh or over b'loi saseh. Not only have you violated and neglected, I mean, say you violated Lo Sese of Lo Yiru Panayrekam, don't come empty-handed. So Rambam feels this mitzvah only applies if you're going to come bearing a karbon. One could have understood it as two separate things. Number one, you should come. You know, come, even if you have no gift, no birthday present, come. But better not to come empty-handed. Lo Yiru Panayrekam. The Rambam understood, no, that what it means is you have to come bearing a karbon. That is the mitzvah. Therefore, the Achrayim writes, for the Rambam, certainly this mitzvah does not apply anymore nowadays. Being Oile Regel, going and appearing in the Beis HaMikdash, we've discussed already in other contexts. The mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel no longer applies b'zman hazeh. People have like a zecher to this, that they go to the Kaisel, like they're there first day Yomtiv, very nice, or throughout Yomtiv. But that's really not the formal fulfillment, at least according to the Rambam, of the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. Aliyah LeRegel, according to the Rambam, is only if you're going to come bearing a karbon. And you're going to bring the karbon in the Beis HaMikdash. If you have no karbon, there is no mitzvah. That's why the Nevi Yehuda writes in a tshuva that there's also no mitzvah to be lahakbil pnei rabo beregel anymore. The Gemara says, Masechtas Sukkah on Daf Chav Zayin Mebeis, there used to be a mitzvah lahakbil pnei rabo beregel, to go visit your Rebbe on the Yontif. So the Nevi Yehuda says there's no longer a mitzvah lahakbil pnei rabo beregel anymore. Why not? So he says, because the Gemara says, on Lamagim Mebeis over here in Kiddushin, you're not allowed to stand up for your Rebbe more than twice a day. Once achas shachris v'achas arvis. Why are you not allowed to stand up more than twice a day? So Gemara says, Shelo yehei kvod rabcha, kodem kvod shamayim. So that the kavod of your Rebbe should not be greater than kavod shamayim. How many times do you accept O Malchus Shamayim every day? Once shachris, kriyashma arvis. Twice a day, that's it. That's the only times we accept kavod O Malchus Shamayim. If a person's going to stand up for his Rebbe more than twice a day, so he's giving preference, or he's honoring his Rebbe more than he honored the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's wrong. So too says the Nevi Yehuda, if you're going to be lahakbil pnei rabo beregel, and you're not going to be on the regel to the Beis HaMikdash, so then you're giving a preference, greater significance to visiting your Rebbe than visiting the Rebbeinu Shalom. So since we can no longer fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel anymore, because according to the Rambam, you have to come bearing a karbon, so then it's not right to go visit your Rebbe, because then you're going to be honoring the Rebbe more than a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the Gemara said over here in Kiddushin, you shouldn't honor the Rebbe more than a Kaddish Baruch Hu by standing up more than twice a day. So too, if you can't go to be other regal, then Nevi Yehuda says you shouldn't go to be Makbil Pnei Rabo Beregel either. Anyway, that's the argument of the Nevi Yehuda. But continues the Rambam. Then he writes something very surprising. Okay, the Rambam understood there's a mitzvah to be other regal, to come bearing a karbon. Don't come empty-handed. And if you do, if you don't come, if you come without a karbon, not only have you not fulfilled the mitzvahs I say, because the mitzvahs I say, says the Rambam, is only to come bearing a karbon, you violated the mitzvahs lois I say, of lo yiru panei rekam, don't come empty-handed. But writes the Rambam, ain't a loika al lav ze. You don't receive malchus for this lav, sherei loy osa maisa, you didn't do anything. What do you mean you didn't do anything? You showed up without a karbon. That sounds like pretty active. Lo yiru panei rekam. Don't come empty-handed. And you did. You showed up without a karbon. Why does the Rambam say, ein aloike, there's no malchus, share lo osa maisa. It's like a lav she'ein bo maisa. You did do a maisa. What did you do? You showed up empty-handed. Why does the Rambam say then that there's no malchus? Rabbi, so you hear the question? You showed up empty-handed. Why not? Yeah. Oh, so that's so Pashup Shad and Rambam. You have no other way. We have no other way to explain it. It must be that it's because according to the Rambam, the Lois Asay here is just coming to strengthen the Asay. Even the Asay for the Rambam is not just to show up. The Asay is to show up bearing a karbon. One could have argued that it means just to show up. But the Rambam says no, it means to show up bearing a karbon. then the lais asay means I'm just coming to strengthen the asay. Don't show up empty-handed. So then, since the lais asay is just coming to strengthen the asay, so then you didn't violate in a proactive fashion. The lais asay cannot be violated in a proactive fashion because it's not a proactive law like wearing shatnez. Don't wear shatnez. If you do, then you get malchus. This is don't negate the asay. If you did negate the asay of coming empty-handed, there's no maisa to speak of. So the Rambam means is not that you were passive here. What it means is the lois asay has no action associated with it, because all the lois asay does is reinforces the asay. Again, same idea as the Ramban over here with regards to makkah, with regards to shiloh hakein and hashavas aveda, that perhaps not every lois asay stands independently. If it comes together with an asay, perhaps many times the lois asay is just coming to strengthen the asay, meaning don't negate, don't violate the asay, rather you should fulfill the asay. And that's what the Rambam called it, a lav she'en bo ma'isa. Let's continue on in the Gemara. One other point that I wanted to address. Yeah? Okay. What is that noise? The heat. Yeah.
But if you were to cut, like, let's say you knew you weren't going to bring a korban with you,
yeah,
should you still go?
So the Rambam says no. Others say, what are you going to do? Lo yiru panai reikam, there's nothing I can do, there are no korbanos bezman hazeh. But the Torah says, maybe there's still a mitzvah to go if there's no carbon. So others disagree with the Rambam. But at least according to the Rambam, and that's why many still perhaps maintain the practice of going, but at least according to the Rambam, there is no mitzvah to come without a carbon. The whole mitzvah is defined by coming with a carbon. So then, lo yiru panai reikam is just coming to strengthen the law of the asay. You're supposed to come with a carbon. Don't come empty-handed. Anyway, the Gemara picks up though, over here at the two dots. Then another example of a mitzvah saseh that's not time bound that women are chayiv in is mezuzah. Women are obligated in mezuzah, but all the mitzvahs that are time bound, women are exempt from. So writes the Gemara, mitzvah saseh shas man grama noshim peturos. Time bound mitzvahs, women are exempt. Me nogon, how do you know? Gomer mi tefillin, we derived it from tefillin. Ma tefillin noshim peturos. The Gemara didn't tell you how you know women are exempt from tefillin, but Gemara will get to that later. So ma tefillin noshim peturos, just like tefillin, women are exempt. Afko mitzvah say she has man grama noshim peturos. So too, all mitzvah say that has man grama, women are pater from. Why are you picking tefillin as the example? The Gemara is going to get to that much later. So but tefillin, how do you know that women are exempt from tefillin? Gamar lami Talmud Torah. It's derived from Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, we know. Women were exempt from Talmud Torah. Umaratam oisem is b'neichem, b'neichem v'loy b'noisechem. We've had that already. V'shinatam uvanecha, levanecha v'loy l'vnoisecha. So women are exempt from Talmud Torah, that we know. And tefillin is connected to Talmud Torah. Ma Talmud Torah noshim peturos. Af tefillin noshim peturos. Why should we compare tefillin to Talmud Torah? Because they're next to each other. In Parashas of Eschana, in the first parashah of Kriyat Shema, pasuk says, "Vishinatam uvanecha v'dibarta bam." The next pasuk is, "Ukshartam lios al yadecha u'toytofas ben einecha." So first is Talmud Torah, then there's tefillin. So women are exempt from Talmud Torah, they should be exempt from tefillin too. And from tefillin, we derive to all mitzvahs asay that are zman grama, just like tefillin. Torah noshim peturos, av tefillin noshim peturos. But 1 minute. V'nakish tefillin le'mezuzah. Mezuzah is not time bound. Women are obligated in a mezuzah. What comes right after? Ukshartem lios al yadecho toitofas bin einecha is uksavtem al mezuzah is beisecho visharecha is a mitzvah of mezuzah. So we have Talmud Torah, tefillin, mezuzah. Why do you associate tefillin with Talmud Torah and say women are exempt from tefillin just like they're exempt from Talmud Torah? Maybe we should associate tefillin with mezuzah. The following pasuk. Women are chayvin. Nakash tefillin, mezuzah. So says the Gemara, no, tefillin l'Talmud Torah iskish bein b'parasha rishayna bein b'parasha shniya. In the parasha of Ayim Shamaya, the second parasha of Kriyashma and parasha Ekev, so Talmud Torah and tefillin are also next to each other. Because the pasuk says, ukshartem, first it's tefillin, I think then Talmud Torah, umaratem oisem is b'neichem u'daber bam, and then it's mezuzah. So first tefillin, Talmud Torah, mezuzah. So in the first parasha of Kriyat Shema, it's Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. So Tefillin is sandwiched in between Torah and Mezuzah. I'm torn, which one should I connect it to? For the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, it's first Tefillin, then Talmud Torah, then Mezuzah. So tefillin in both parashas of Kriyat Shema is next to Talmud Torah, so that's why we connect it to Talmud Torah. Iskish ben parasha rishonim ben parasha shniya. Tefillin le mezuzah be parasha shniya lo iskish. Talmud Torah is in between. So therefore, we don't connect tefillin to mezuzah. Okay, so I'll do you one better. V'nakish mezuzah le Talmud Torah. So let's say women should be putter then a mezuzah too. Mezuzah is always next to Talmud Torah also. At least in the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, it's next to Talmud Torah. Why don't we exempt women from mezuzah just like we're exempting them from tefillin? Nakish mezuzah le Talmud Torah. Says Gemara, no, lo yisal kadaitach. Don't think to make such a, draw such a conclusion. Dichsiv l'man yirbu yumeichem. Pasuk says, right after mezuzah, in the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, l'man yirbu yumeichem, yumei v'neichem, alo adama. So, there's arichos yamim, or there's life associated with the mitzvah of mezuzah. So it says in more, gav rebo yichai, noshi lo bo yichai. If a person is a zaycha to have protected in his life by the mitzvah of mezuzah, what, you think men want to live and women don't want to live? Some women are obligated to mezuzah. Why are they obligated to mezuzah? Because the following pasuk says, l'man yirbu yumeichem, yumei v'neichem, alo adama, ashen nishba Hashem l'vasechem. So, gav rebo yichai, noshi lo bo yichai. Don't women want to live too? So women should be obligated in mezuzah. So Taisus asks different Maschal Gavri. Taisus says, I thought that pasuk is referring to Talmud Torah, because the Gemara Masechta Shabbos attributes it to Talmud Torah. The Gemara says, "Be'oven bittul Torah banim kitana mesim le'elenu." Person says, "But because of the avera bittul Torah," the Gemara says, "young children pass away." Why? Because the pasuk says, "L'man yirbu yumeichem, mevim neichem." If you don't fulfill Talmud Torah, matam isim is b'neichem, l'daber b'am, the children pass away. So it sounds like it's referring to Talmud Torah. So Taisus initially says, nah, that's just an asmachta. Then Taisus says, perhaps it's referring both to Talmud Torah as well as to mezuzah, but Talmud Torah, we know they're exempt. There's nothing we can do about it. So we don't say, gavri b'orichai, noshi b'orichai. Why should one be exempt from Talmud Torah if that leads to a protected life to make sure people stay alive? We know women are exempt from Talmud Torah. There's nothing we can do about it. But with regards to mezuzah, that we have no other indication one way or the other. So since the pasuk says, L'man yirbu yumeichem v'mei v'neichem, and it's certainly relating to mezuzah, maybe to Talmud Torah in addition, but certainly to mezuzah, so says the Gemara, Gavri b'orichai, noshim l'b'orichai, noshim want to live too. So therefore, women should be obligated to mezuzah, because mezuzah, it sounds like from the Gemara, mezuzah protects a person while he's alive. Yeah. There are other indications, so that's why women are obligated to mezuzah. What emerges from our Gemara is women are obligated to mezuzah. Why? That's also, it's not a time-bound mitzvah, but the nuts and bolts, the mechanics of the drasha, are because the pasuk says right after, it protects a person while he's alive. Men want to live, women don't want to live, women also want to live a protected life. This notion that the mezuzah protects a person, that's why the Gemara argued women are chayv and mezuzah, is echoed by Gemara Masechtas Menachos, famous imagery, where the Gemara tells us that Aflami Gimel Mebeis, it also appears in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph, the sugyas of Unkelus, who was a famous ger, was very successful in being Megayer other gerim, that Unkelus was Megayer gerim by telling them this imagery of Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bo v'ra, Shaloi k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas bas v'dam. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts himself is not the way Bas of Adam conducts themselves. Bas of Adam, Melech Yoshev Bifnim, V'am Hashem Roisam Yibachutz. The king sits in the inner chamber, and the guards stand guards outside. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Akein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei Amlochim, doesn't conduct himself like that. Avadav Yoshev Bifnim, we live inside. V'hu Hashem Roisam Yibachutz, he protects them on the outside. Shenema Hashem Shemcha Hashem Silcha Yad Minecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu protects us. How does a Kadosh Baruch Hu protect us? The mezuzah. The mezuzah on the outside of the door is the way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu protects us. That's why it says in the Zayah HaKadosh, Parshas Veschanan, it's quoted in Hilchos Mezuzah by the Rishonim, that there's a minhag to write the name Shakai on the outside of a mezuzah. Bein HaParshiyos. Why do they write that? Shame of a Kadosh Baruch on the outside of the mezuzah. Kadosh Baruch Hu protects the homes with the mezuzah, and that name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu specifically because it's a Rosh Hashanah is Shomer Diros Yisrael. That's what it says in the Farshim on the Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos Mezuzah. Kadosh Baruch Hu protects the D-Roys of Klal Yisrael. That's where they write Shakai on the outside of a mezuzah. Mezuzah protects the home, protects a person while he's alive. That's why the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, another source, that you see that the mezuzah protects a person while he's in his home. Because the Gemara says, Samach Gimel Aleph, Kol Megadol Kelev Ra B'Soich Beisai, anybody who raises an evil dog. Now this doesn't really mean the dog is dangerous. If the dog will be dangerous, you're not allowed to raise him in your home anyway. But the Gemara says, if you raise a dog that people think is dangerous, people think, you know, his bark might be louder than his bite. The bark could also be dangerous. People get nervous and they do silly, you know, they do dangerous things in the wake of a bark. But if it's people think that it's a dangerous dog, even if it's not, so the Gemara says, you monei chesed mitoch beisai, no one's going to come and want to visit you because you have all these dogs all over the place. So number one, it's bad because people won't want to come and visit you. You won't be able to do chesed. But even more than that, the Gemara says, parek mimenu yira shamayim. You've relieved yourself, removed yourself from Yira Shamayim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, in Yira Iyoiv Yareisa Shakai Yazoiv. How do you show, or how have you negated Yira Shamayim by having this Kelev Rab, basically the dog that people think is scary, even though it's perhaps really not? So the Marsha writes, why do you have such a dog there? Why do you have the beware of dog sign? Why do you have that? You're afraid it's like an alarm system. You're afraid, or a prehistoric alarm system. You're afraid, you know, someone's going to rob you. So what do? You have your big big dog, or at least even have a beware of dog sign in order to scare people away. So what do you need that for? You're not Saimech on the mezuzah? Mezuzah is not good enough for you? The Ribbono Shel Olam is not good enough for you? You have to buy a Rottweiler, a dog? Why do you have to buy the dog? Says the Maharsha, the Derech Megadol HaKelev Amido Al HaPesach V'Shmiras Beisai, in order to watch over his house. V'Yiras Shakai Shehi Al Mezuzah, but the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's written on the outside of the mezuzah, Shemer Diras Yisrael, V'Shmiras Pesach Beisai, Hu Yazav Hu Parek, that he, come on, I'm not going to be Semech on that. To protect my valuables, a person has to hire a dog. You got to beware of dog sign. Beware of dog sign is more effective than the mezuzah. So a person who thinks his beware of dog sign is more effective than the mezuzah says, Parek Mimenu, Yira Shamayim. He doesn't understand the significance of the mezuzah. So mezuzah protects a person while he's alive, protects his home. Yeah.
So by that logic, that sounds a stupid question, then should you not have an alarm?
Right. You're saying you should be protected from the mezuzah. Yeah, are we all in violation of this? We don't trust the mezuzah, we all have alarms. Huh? Maybe Hashem created alarms as part of, so we should have it. Yeah, Hashem created dogs too. That's a good point. Alright, we need to think about it more. Yeah, most Jews have alarms that they don't use, by the way. But, I don't know. We have to think about it more. It's a good point. I have an alarm. So. Is this halacha ma'aseh? Many disagree with the Maharsha. I learned a different pshat in the Gemara, to be honest with you, because they feel it doesn't protect you from robbers. It doesn't protect you from listed. This is a unique position of the Maharsha. Most assume they interpret the Gemara differently than the Maharsha. So maybe we'll have to interpret the Gemara differently. I don't know. Good point. But just to getting back to our Gemara, but 1 minute, if the mezuzah protects you, and that's why women are chayv in mezuzah, gavri b'chay, nashi b'chay, what does it necessarily mean that women are chayv in mezuzah? Why do we have to draw that conclusion? Why can't a woman just put up a mezuzah, even if she's not chayv? If you want to live through the mezuzah, put it up. Maybe meikra adin, they're putter. How do we know that women are chayv in mezuzah? Just because she wants to preserve her life by having a mezuzah on her door. Let her put a mezuzah on her door. We discussed, according to most Rishonim, all Rishonim, women can volunteer to do a mitzvah. The question is, can she make a bracha? But she can volunteer to do any mitzvah. So let the woman put up a mezuzah if she wants to preserve her life, protect her life. Let her put up a mezuzah, even if she's not chayiv. How do we automatically derive, how does the Gemara derive, or draw the conclusion from the svar of Gavri Borechai, Nashi Lo Borechai, Leman Yir B'Yemeichem, that since the mezuzah protects you, woman must be chayiv? Why do they have to be chayiv? Maybe, why can't she just volunteer to put up a mezuzah if she wants to protect her life? How are we able to draw that conclusion? Isn't that a jump? So the Paiskim explain based on a comment of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Perikei of Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Dalet, the minute Pasha Shekaisim al mezuzah mibachutz keneged harevach shebein parasha leparasha shakai. The minute is that you write on the outside of the mezuzah the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Adiris Yisrael, Ve'en Baze Hefzed Lefish Humi Bachutz. It doesn't diminish the mezuzah or harm the mezuzah because it's written on the outside, in the back of the cloth. Aval Eilu Shekaisim Yibifnim, Shemus HaMalachim, Shemus Kedoshim. That was a minute that obviously the Rambam is protesting against. Those who write on the inside of the mezuzah, names of different Malachim, or Shemus Kedoshim, or Pasuk, or Chaisamois, other holy sayings, Harehim Bechlau Misha Eilem Chelek Leilem Abba. Language says the Rambam. Such a person has no chelik in olam haba. She'elu hatipshim loydai lahem shebitlu ha-mitzvah. Not only are they defacing a mezuzah, so you deface the mezuzah. Elo she'asu mitzvah gedai lo she'yichar Hashem shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're doing a mitzvah mezuzah. Va'avodaso ke'ilu hu kameya shel hanoyas atzman. They're taking the mezuzah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and they're making it into a kameya, like an amulet that's written by a miracle worker. They think that this is somehow going to protect them more than the mitzvah. So Rama said they took a mitzvah and they made it into a kameya, to some skula. And it's not a skula. A mitzvah is a holy mitzvah. So writes the Kesef Mishnah over there. Does the Rama deny the fact that a mezuzah protects your home? Says the Kesef Mishnah, no, of course the Rama believes the mezuzah protects your home. There's so many indications like that in the Gemara, in many different places. Because the Mishnah says what the Rambam feels is that the mezuzah protects your home by virtue of the mitzvah of mezuzah. What protects you? Not the shakai on the outside, or the name of the shemois that you write, your little kvitlach on the inside of the mezuzah. What protects you is the mitzvah of mezuzah, the fact that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Kadosh Baruch Hu, thus alay, that itself is what protects a person. So therefore, tzarech sheyechaven L'kai mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu U'memeila nimshach sheshishmo habayis. That itself is shayim of the bayis. But what protects the home is not all the little messages that you write on the inside of the mezuzah. What protects the home is fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah. Just to perhaps put it into greater context is the Gemara Mesechtas Menachos. The Gemara tells us in Mesechtas Menachos Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Torah B'makel P'sula. Let's say a person hangs his mezuzah from a pole on the top of the doorway, instead of affixing the mezuzah to the lintel on the side, from the post on the side, he hangs it from the lintel that's on top. Have a little string hanging down or a pole hanging down, it will hold your mezuzah. But it's not affixed to the doorpost. So tala b'makel psula, that's no good. My time of b'sharecha b'inon, has to be on the doorpost. Here it's not. Let's say you put it behind the doorway, hang it, in the middle of the wall. Psula. But says the Gemara, even stronger language. It's dangerous and there's no mitzvah. What do you mean that it's dangerous? What's dangerous here? So Tysus writes, perhaps the simplest explanation, you're going to bang your head. Person has a mezuzah hanging down in the middle of the door with a post. No one's expecting that. That's like a surprise. You walk in the door and boom, there's a mezuzah hits you right in the head. So that's what it means. Sakana. First of all, it's wrong. No mitzvah. And sakana, you're going to bang your head. Or if the mezuzah, you're not expecting it, it's behind the doorway. So you walk in and surprise, the mezuzah there. You're not expecting it, you bang your head. So Tessa says that's what the sakana is referring to. However, Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi says, sakana min amazikin. Your house is unprotected. Therefore, the damaging forces of the world could harm you. A mezuzah only protects a person if you're fulfilling the mitzvah with this mezuzah. That's the only time it protects a person, is when you fulfill the mitzvah with the mezuzah. So therefore, writes the Shevet Alevi, Vosner writes in his Trufas to Shevet Alevi, that you're not allowed to hang a mezuzah on your wall as a decoration. It doesn't serve as protection. It doesn't do anything for you. The only time a mezuzah serves as protection is when it's on the doorpost in the proper place. What protects you? The mezuzah. the mitzvah mezuzah, not the mezuzah itself. The mezuzah is not a kameo, like some holy amulet. It protects you. What protects you? The mitzvah mezuzah is what protects you. L'man yirbu yameichem v'mei v'neichem is the mitzvah mezuzah, not the object of the mezuzah. So therefore he writes, you should not hang it in the wall as a decoration. It should not be a necklace around your neck. Rav Moshe, Nigros Moshe, Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Waldenberg, who passed away a few years ago, disagree, and they argue that no, it doesn't provide the same protection as a mitzvah mezuzah of a man yirbu yameichem v'mei v'neichem, but if you want to wear one around your neck as a kameya, knowing that it's a kameya, so, okay, fine, it offers probably better protection than a typical, you know, garden variety kameya that somebody writes for you in Eretz Yisrael. This is probably better. It's a, you know, parasha from the Torah says it's a kameya, the same genre as kameya. It doesn't rise to the level of the shmira of a mezuzah that's in its proper place. That's what offers real protection. Okay, you want to hang it on your wall as a decoration, as long as it's not mutal bebizayon, it's not hanging in a bizayon dika fashion. Rav Moshe claims there's no problem doing it, but you don't receive the same protection. When does one receive the full protection of mezuzah? Is only when he's fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah. The mitzvah of mezuzah, says the Rambam, is what protects you. It doesn't function like a kameya. Maybe it could have a dual function as a kameya if you want to wear it outside of the context of the mitzvah. But what offers the real protection is the mitzvah. So therefore, writes the Shevet HaLevi, based on that, this argument, this line of reasoning, that perhaps that's how the Gemara knew that women are obligated in mezuzah. Because if a person is not obligated in mezuzah, even if you volunteer to do it, all it would be is a kameya. It's like hanging a mezuzah from your wall, or hanging a mezuzah around your neck. It offers minimal protection, maybe, but certainly not the type of protection that's described by the Pasuk, "Mein yirbu yameichem v'mei v'neichem." So therefore, says the Rav Ozner, that's how the Gemara knew that women must be chayv in mezuzah. Gavri boi chay, noshi loy boi chay. They don't want the lower level of protection. They want the real protection that's offered by the mitzvah mezuzah. But that you only gain if you're actually chayv in the mitzvah and you do it. But if you're not chayv in the mitzvah and you do it, you don't get the same protection. It's like hanging a mezuzah in a place that's putter. It could serve as a command, but it won't get the bona fide, the full-fledged protection of the mezuzah. That's only when a person is chayiv and he fulfills the mitzvah. Then you get the full protection. So therefore, the Gemara conclusively argued that women, since they want the full protection of the mezuzah, must be their chayiv. You only get the full protection if you're chayiv in the mitzvah and you fulfill it. If you volunteer to do it, it's like putting it on your wall. It's like hanging it around your neck. You wouldn't receive the full protection. One final issue is that that's why what if a nachri wants to hang a mezuzah? So it says in the Ramah, at the end of Hilchas Mezuzah, he wants a mezuzah. You're not allowed to give it to him. You're going to create tension or possibility of hatred between the Umas Ha'olam and Klal Yisrael, v'sheyira mishum zeli Yisrael, will cause harm to Klal Yisrael. If you're not going to give him the mezuzah, then shari. Why are you not allowed to give him the mezuzah? So if you look in the sources that the Ramah is quoting, it's because we're afraid he's not going to treat it properly. And even if he will treat it properly because he's asking for it, we're afraid that his children are not going to treat it properly. With the proper kedusha, they don't know how to treat the Kisvei HaKadosh. So they have no way of knowing how to treat Kisvei HaKadosh. So therefore the Ramah says, that's why it's one should not give him mezuzah to an other kechavim who asked for one. However, if it's going to cause any loss to a Yisrael, then he's allowed to give it to him. So Rav Moshe is a tshuva negros Moshe about a tenant who was moving into a Jewish-owned property, and he wanted the landlord to give him a mezuzah. Otherwise, he wasn't going to pay rent, or he wasn't going to take the apartment. So Rav Moshe was asked, is one allowed to lease in the apartment, knowing that you're going to have to provide him with a mezuzah? Otherwise, he's not going to pay the rent, or he's not going to take the apartment. So Moshe said it's allowed. Whenever there's any loss to Yisrael, it doesn't mean that there's going to be chas v'shalom a pogrom. What it means is, even if there's any loss to Yisrael, even if he'll lose rent, you're allowed to provide it to him. But this means absent any of that. You know, in a vacuum, why would you provide him with a mezuzah? He's not going to be careful in how he treats Kisvei HaKadosh. But are they offered any protection by the mezuzah? Are they offered, a nachri wants to hang a mezuzah, are they offered any protection by the mezuzah? So Pashup Shat is no, they're not offered any protection. It's only if you have the mitzvah mezuzah and you fulfill it. It would offer the kind of protection of a kameya, like a person that gets an amulet written by a holy person. but it's no different than something you hang on your wall or a thing you wear around your neck. But the real protection of mezuzah, that's what the Achronim seem to argue based on our Gemara, is only if you're chayiv in it and you do it kilchasai. Because what offers a protection, the primary protection of the mezuzah, is not the mezuzah itself, but is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of mezuzah. That's what the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah told us. They say a joke, old joke, Rabbi Yisrael. A guy was at work, and he had a colleague over to his house for supper one night, a non-Jewish colleague, and he sees a mezuzah on the door. So he says, oh, what do you have a mezuzah for? He said, well, we believe, you know, it's one of the mitzvos, the precepts of Judaism, we believe it protects the home. So the non-Jews are, so nice. On the door, protects the home. So he went home on his own. He didn't ask the Jew. And he went to the Judaica store, bought a mezuzah. So he comes back the next day, and he hung it on his door. Comes back the next day, and he tells his Jewish colleague, you know, I loved your mezuzah so much, I went to the store, I bought one myself. Hung it up. So he says, really? So he says, yeah, it wasn't hard. He said there were instructions in Hebrew, but I couldn't understand them, so I threw them away. And after I threw away the instructions, I was able to hang it up. Okay, Rabbi.